Welcome to the second hour of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. To join us in Portland, call toll-free at 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. You can email us at courtside@trailblazers.com. Or send us a text message, courtside at 66937.
Hour number two of Trailblazers Courtside on a Tuesday evening, presented by Pacific Power. Brian Wheeler and Michael Holton with you. The other two mics, Mike Barrett and Mike Rice, handling a very important sponsorship assignment tonight. Although, for those who were watching in the first hour of the show, as we were talking to Frank Hughes of SI.com, it was not a figment of your imagination. The Wild One and MB did make their way through the studio just to kind of be seen, and they circled around, and they got a couple of camera shots. For those who are watching on TV, here's a replay of what they did. They just kind of wanted to make sure that we knew that they are around and that they're still a part of the show, even though that they can't be a full part of it on this particular evening. The radio folks didn't have the pleasure of that. We didn't want to interrupt Frank Hughes. He was in the middle of a great answer, but yes, MB and the Wild Ones still making their presence felt, even on a show that they're not fully a part of, and they'll be back with us next week.
They showed what a team Blazer Broadcasting is.
That's right. We just we got back from a road trip, and we just can't bear being apart from one another. So here we are getting together again. A guy that we also enjoy talking to whenever we have the opportunity, one of the fine NBA writers and now doing his great work for NBA.com, is Scott Howard Cooper. Scott is with us now. Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Scott, give us your memories of Michael Holton, the assistant coach for UCLA. He says that you covered the beat when he was at UCLA. Was he the same calm and relaxed presence that he is sitting to my right now as a NBA broadcaster when he was a college coach?
I'm not just saying this because he's on the line on the other end of the phone right now. I actually was having this very conversation with somebody the other day about Michael. One of the all-time class acts, one of the all-time good guys. I know Portland is lucky to have him. And again, it's not a suck-up move because I'm on with you guys even when Michael isn't there. But I will say that in 100% honesty, my memories of Michael are 100% good. He was a guy that the players really respected. I think he contributed a lot of stability to that program at a time that it was really needed. You could tell he was a former player who understood what it was to play at UCLA, and again, somebody that people could really look up to, the young guys there in the program.
He said that just the way you wrote it.
Wow, thanks a lot. Check is in the mail.
I hope I read your writing correct, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So Scott, go ahead, Coach.
Scott, I want to ask you about this Western Conference race. You know, the Trailblazers currently sitting in the eighth position, but they've lost or they've played more games than everybody else, at least three, I believe. Is that going to be a plus or a minus, or is that a non-factor?
I think it's a non-factor. Once you get this late into the season, I think that everybody's got, feeling the effects of a long season. I think the Blazers are probably feeling it more than most people, but not because they've played three extra games. I don't think really is something that guys are going to notice. But their problems, as everybody knows, is they've had so many injuries, and some of the guys that have been able to stay healthy all season have played more minutes, I suspect, than they would have liked to by this point, just because of the compensation factor that there's been so many guys out. But no, I don't think that three extra games when you get to early March is something that is really noticeable.
Scott, we'll take this from two angles. We'll look at, first of all, the teams that are directly behind the Blazers. Last night, the victory at Memphis, it's the last meeting between the two teams for the season. Blazers get the season series split. The next tiebreaker is conference record, and the Blazers have a much better conference record than Memphis, so they would win a tiebreaker with Memphis. They are done playing Houston. Last night, New Orleans was a loser at home to San Antonio. The
Hornets and Blazers still have two more meetings, once in Portland and once in New Orleans. So of the three teams that are chasing them, they won't play two of them. Right now, New Orleans and Memphis have 30 losses. The Blazers have 27. Houston has 29, and they have an opportunity now with Kevin Martin coming on board. It looks like they are becoming a little bit better offensive team. But do the Blazers, in terms of somebody catching them, do you think any of those three teams, do they have a lot to worry about if they take care of their own business?
No, not if they take care of their own business. I think that they've got a little bit to worry about because it's not like they've got some amazing cushion there. But if Portland takes care of its games, then I think that the Blazers are still in good shape. And as we talk, this is a very, very important shorter stretch that they're coming up to right now that they're actually into. This is a moment that they can really put separation on the pack. Whether they can climb up really far into the standings, I don't know. It's certainly possible. But the most important thing right now for the Blazers has got to be just getting into the playoffs. And I think this is their opportunity right now, that soft spot of the schedule, the Minnesota and Memphis that they just had. They've got an awful lot of games coming up with the Sacramentos and the Golden States and the Washingtons of the world. I think if you look back, say, 2 weeks from now, if you look back at this stretch that they're in now, that could really be a key turning point. They can climb up. They can put some separation on the people that are closest to them. I think that you'll see that they're really going to take advantage of it. I think that they're going to be feeling a lot better about themselves and the playoff positioning after they get done with this block of games.
You know, Scott, the Trailblazers are one of, if not the best team in back-to-back games. I believe it's 12-3 in back-to-backs. Now you take the extra practice time because they have more time in between games, having played more games on the front side of the schedule. Do you think that could possibly lend itself to a Trailblazer run here down the stretch?
Absolutely. The extra time for the practice and for the rest. Again, I don't put a whole lot of weight in the fact that they've played three extra games than the rest of the pack, but just those everyday bumps and bruises that teams have, if you're getting a little bit of extra rest in there, those are the things that can make a big difference. They paid for a lot early because they had a lot of games, they had a lot of injuries. I think this is the time that you're going to see a lot that's going to, you know, finally things are going to turn in their favor. The schedule's breaking right for them at the right time of the season.
Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com with us here on Trailblazers Courtside. And, Scott, we talked about the Blazers trying to stay ahead of the teams that are immediately chasing them as Portland occupies the eighth spot in the West right now. Looking up, is there a team or two that you think potentially could fall for the Blazers to get an even better spot for the playoffs? We're looking at San Antonio in the seventh spot right now. Technically, in the games back loss or games back column, the Blazers are a half a game back, but they are three games back in the loss column of San Antonio. Oklahoma City is technically a game and a half ahead of the Blazers, but four ahead in the loss column. And then Phoenix at five is three ahead in the loss column and two and a half in the games back column. The Blazers own a tiebreaker over Phoenix. They own a tiebreaker over San Antonio, and they still have two meetings left with Oklahoma City with that season series tied 1-1. So they could own tiebreakers over all three potentially, but do you see any or all of those three teams as clubs that the Blazers could potentially catch?
I think the Spurs are especially vulnerable, which is amazing. I mean, if we would have been having this conversation in November and somebody would have tossed out the realistic possibility of will the Spurs make the playoffs, you know, we would have been laughed off the air. That winning a championship, okay, that's one thing, but you know, there's no conversation to be had about the Spurs making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. And suddenly we look up and it's early March. And I think that it's certainly getting to the point that it's going to get to nervous time for the people in San Antonio. It has not been a good season, mostly because the chemistry issues are not where San Antonio, where the Spurs want it to be. And that's something that you just never hear talked about, chemistry and issues with the Spurs. But there's no question that things have not gone smoothly there. And of the top eight teams in the West, San Antonio has the toughest finishing schedule. The opponents are tough. The back-to-backs are tough. The ratio of home versus road breaks against them. So not only is it close in the standings right there, it's, a half game, I think you said, a half game in the standings. Right now, I think that the Spurs could be having a long road ahead. They could end up having to go into that last week week and a half of the season having to sweat it out.
Well, that would be good news for the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah. If the San Antonio Spurs had age catch up with them or chemistry issues. You know, I like the positioning that the Trailblazers are in terms of practice time, time to rest, and hopefully staying healthy the rest of the way, and Marcus Camby getting a chance to integrate himself more deeply into the Trailblazers roster. It's going to be interesting, though, down the stretch. The playoff race hadn't been quite this close, teams 5 through 8 in the last few years.
I agree. I think that that it's in what has been a very difficult season for the Blazers, mostly because of the injuries, partly because of rotation and guys fitting in and transition newcomers with the players who had been here in the past, that through what has been a very difficult season, there certainly is a lot of reasons for the Blazers and their fans to be feeling encouraged. Let's not go too far and say that it's a comfortable time, but there's reason to be encouraged. And certainly, I would think that there's reason for people to feel good that if through all the difficulties that the Blazers have had this year, if they still are in that 45-47 win range at the end of the year, that's a pretty successful regular season for everything that they went through. Now, the key thing is, what do they do in the playoffs? Because this team is not built, it has not been put together to do well in the first 82 games. It's all about what happens in the spring and into early summer. That's going to decide whether it's been a good season or a bad season for the Blazers. But I think around the country, you have to give them a lot of credit, because in what has been a difficult, trying time, they've kind of persevered.
Last question, Scott. Hottest team in the NBA, Dallas. They're sitting at the number 2 spot in the Western Conference right now. They made as bold a move at the trade deadline as anybody, picking up, of course, Caron Butler and Brendan Haywood from Washington. That move, was it enough, along with the moves they made in the past offseason, was it enough for them to be a potentially dangerous club in the Western Conference come playoff time?
I think it's enough to make them a dangerous club in the Western Conference playoffs. I think we're certainly looking at the very real possibility of a long run. I do not think it is enough, though, to beat the Lakers. I don't think that it's enough to say, yeah, if they were to begin a series today, you would have to favor them to win 4 times out of the 7 games. I don't think it's enough. I think it's a good move. I think that they've made a lot of very good moves, you know, dating back to last offseason. Remember, right, this is just about when they took off a year ago. They had a very, very good last 5 or 6 weeks of the regular season at the end of last season, and they had a credible showing in the playoffs. So this is nothing new. This is a team that knows how to handle itself. I think they've set themselves up nicely. I think that they're going to have a nice playoff run, but I don't think that they're going to be coming out of the West.
Scott, thanks for the visit. As always, will we be seeing you on the trails at some point here, rest of the way?
Yeah, I think we're going to be getting out a little bit more these days. I would love to get up to Portland. I haven't been there all season, and I miss it desperately.
Well, we'd love to have you, and the weather's getting better, so please come on by and enjoy one of the last 9 Blazer regular season games, maybe even a playoff game when all is said and done.
Have a great night.
All right, Scott, thank you. Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com, joining us and taking a look at the ever-competitive Western Conference playoff chase. All right, we'll continue on. Bottom of the hour, Terry Durham, retired NBA official, will be with us. Terry with some colorful observations about his time in the NBA. What does he think about today's NBA? Referees don't usually have many friends, but we'll find out what he thinks about how the game is being officiated these days and maybe some of the trickier coaches and players that he had to deal with during his time in the league. Still to come, our Horizon Air Trivia Contest, too. So stick around. It's hour number 2 of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, Wheels and Coach Holton, as we are simulcast on the Blazers Radio Network, Trailblazers.com, and Comcast Sportsnet.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Coach Holton making sure that the bobbleheads are in good working order, and that's always a nice thing to confirm. Of course, a talking LaMarcus Aldridge bobblehead could be yours if you are a current Blazers season ticket holder. You are going to have to renew your seats by March 16th to get that talking LaMarcus bobblehead, and you can do so online at renew.trailblazers.com. And by renewing by March 16th, you will secure your tickets for the playoffs. And certainly the playoffs are becoming a lot more likely as we look down the stretch here. The final 19 games of the season, 9 at home, 10 on the road, but no road trip longer than 2 games the rest of the way, no lengthy travel the rest of the way. And so there will be a lot of teams that will not have such a favorable schedule the rest of the way. And as we've talked about a little bit as well with our guest tonight, the Blazers will have time in between games. It was interesting, Coach Holton, when we were in Phoenix right before the All-Star break, they had just experienced a stretch of time where the Blazers played them on a Wednesday night. They had not played since the previous Friday. And the Blazers came out, if you remember, and blitzed the Suns from the start of the game. Phoenix made some good runs in the second half to make it close, ultimately lost the game. So Nate McMillan's talking to Alvin Gentry, the Suns head coach, after the game, and says, you know, how did you handle this extended time off? And he said, well, I gave them 2 days off in a row. And so then, in second guessing, he said, you know, I think we came out a little flat. So I said to Coach Nate, I said, so I'm guessing you won't be giving them 2 days off. And he said, well, I might, but it won't be in a row. So, you know, as you go back to your days as a coach, I mean, managing your team's time is probably as tricky a thing as anything. You always, you know, sometimes when you're playing well, you like being in a rhythm and you like having games. Then sometimes when you have some injuries or maybe you've had a bad loss, you like some time off. But sometimes managing the time off is sometimes as tricky as trying to figure out where to get a rest when you have a busy schedule.
Yeah, you know, the age-old question of rhythm versus rest, I always liked rhythm. You know, I thought rest was overrated. It always kind of frightened me to let the players get away from the game too long. So I agree with Coach McMillan. 1 day off is a good thing. 2 days consecutively is almost unheard of in the body of an NBA season. That's a long time to get away from the game for a lot of reasons.
But the Blazers will have a stretch this month. For instance, they will play a home game on Sunday, March 14th against Toronto, will not play again until Friday the 19th against Washington. Both games home games, so no travel involved, and a lot of times, a lot of days at home during that time. And I'm sure that will be a point where Nate will try to figure out what's the best way to maybe heal some aches and pains, maybe give some rest to some guys that have logged some heavy minutes during the season, but at the same time trying to stay sharp for that next game coming up on the 19th against Washington.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ways you can manage situations like that. You can bring everybody in and your high-minute guys just maybe get some shots and some touches and you tweak a few things from a skeleton offense standpoint, but you don't really bang each other. You don't hit bodies. You don't do anything physical. And then you let the other guys that haven't gotten a lot of minutes get a little bit of burn, a little bit of run. I mean, there's ways to manage it and keep the team together, the chemistry and the rhythm intact.
Martell Webster, we brought him up in the first hour. Somebody that, unfortunately, with the time that Nicholas Batum has been getting, now that he's in the starting lineup and playing so well, Martell's minutes have been cut back a little bit. And it's always the age-old question when you're talking about a head coach trying to decide how to play his reserves. Do the reserves get the time that allows them to be productive, or do they need to be productive to get the time? And so we've seen some games where Martell has had the time, hasn't necessarily shot the ball as well. In January, he was lights out. He and Aaron Brooks had more three-point field goals than anybody in the entire NBA. Now February was a little different as his minutes went down and his production went down. I don't know which happened first. I don't know how you get maybe both to go back up again if you're Martell. What's the best way to handle that?
Well, in the pros, you don't get a chance to earn minutes in practice. You know, you don't get to earn your way back in. So, therefore, when you're scripted for minutes, you're slotted for minutes, and you lose them for whatever reason, a bad stretch of games, lack of confidence, it's hard to get them back. If the guy that comes in plays well, it is very difficult to get back in the groove.
Now, I noticed, though, in the Minnesota game, one thing I liked that he did, he went and got 7 rebounds. He didn't shoot the ball that well, but he got some minutes because he did some other things. And I think sometimes for young players, they think the best way to stay on the court is to score. And I think for head coaches, they maybe are looking for you to do some other things. The shot maybe isn't always going to be there, but can you play defense? Can you rebound? Can you, if you're Jared Bayless, come in as the second point guard? Can you maybe find a way, you know, to be a playmaker? I think if you maybe can earn some segments doing, earn some time doing things like that.
You got to be an EPP player to earn minutes if you're outside the rotation. That means you got to be an extra possession player. Find a way to create possessions for your team.
All right, we'll continue on. Trailblazers courtside coming up in just a little bit. Retired NBA official Terry Durham, pride and joy of Hillsboro, will be with us. And Terry certainly has some great stories to tell about his time as an NBA official. We'll get some thoughts on what he thinks about today's NBA officiating. Also coming up in the final half hour of the show, our Horizon Air Trivia Contest. Don't go anywhere. It's Trailblazers courtside presented by Pacific Power, simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet, trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network.
We now continue with Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
Hey, when one of the Trailblazers suffers from a knee, shoulder, back, or ankle injury, they trust the expertise of the physicians at Rebound Orthopedics and Neurosurgery, who specialize in sports-related injuries and all other orthopedic problems. Visit their office next to the Rose Garden or call 1-800-REBOUND. That's 1-800-REBOUND. We have not checked in on the captain's cam tonight. Rich Patterson, our outstanding radio producer. There he is.
Cap.
As always, doing a lot of work. Now, the cap he is wearing tonight is a Wheels at Work cap that you possess as well, I believe, in your possession.
Yeah, Coach, I think the clock is ticking. I have to wear it to be able to retain it. You let me know the conditions when I received it.
Yes.
And so I look forward to doing that during this stretch of
But
home
see,
games.
Normally you come in with a very stylish hat when you head into our flagship radio station, The Game, and so that might not be the appropriate point for you to wear it. But, yes, I did say at some point in the next 30 days I need to see you wearing it once.
The clock is ticking.
And I might have to reclaim it, and I don't want to do that.
No, because I need it for this golf season because it's a nice hat. It's in my rotation. I think it's going to help my game, shave a stroke or two, or at least give me something to talk about when I'm playing bad.
Or at least you'll look good when maybe you're not playing as well as you like. Here's a guy that gets out on the golf course every now and then during the off season. He was a tremendous official during his days in the NBA, and we always enjoy the opportunity to see him out and about. Pride and joy of Hillsboro, Terry Durham is with us. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
We're doing great. We were talking earlier, and you'll be happy to know that Michael Holton felt that you were one of the most, now what were the words you used, approachable?
Approachable was the last word I
used. Yes, and you used two more before that. They were all good words, Terry. He felt that you were one of the guys that he liked as officials. Not that he had a lot of dislike for other guys, but you were among the top, among the best.
Well, I would say that's a bunch of malarkey coming from Michael.
Well, you know, hey, you're a referee. I still harbor the thought that I could get a call from you.
I want to know if I called a technical foul on you, for crying out loud.
No, you didn't.
Then I should have.
No, you didn't. You were approachable. You were an official that I felt like if I wanted to get an interpretation of something, I could approach you and ask. And that's not true with every official.
You know something? You know, you're right there. And I think I took it upon myself to, if a player or a coach came to me in a professional manner, then I was going to be 100% professional with them. And one of the greatest things I can say about, I think, about my career, you know, sometimes we officials, when somebody asks us a question, we don't want to answer it, or we give them an answer that's really not what it should be. I can say that in 24 years of officiating, I never stretched the truth really light to a referee, to a coach or a player, and I felt good about that. You always tell them the truth, and they can't do anything about it when they hear the truth. That's vitally important, I think, in our game of officiating.
Terry, when you think back, and I'm sure fans would be curious, and when you went through the training to be an NBA official, and we know about all the physical things that go into it, to all the tape work and being able to certainly know the rules backwards and forwards, but were officials instructed to be approachable, or was that something that was just subjective to each guy as to whether they determined that they wanted to be somebody that was thought of that way?
I think, Ryan, it was, I can answer probably, at times it went both ways. We were told, you know, don't talk to them. We were told be approachable with them. But I always felt that if there was a question, and again, if a guy came to me professionally, he had the right to hear my answer. He may not like my answer, but I thought it was a part of officiating. I always thought in my career that if I could stop a guy from a post player, I'll give you an example, where somebody would stick out an arm in the back and he'd block his elbow, and I'd say, bend your elbow. Because if we had a rule that if your elbow was stiff and straight, it was an automatic foul. And I'd say, bend your elbow. and he would bend it. And as game started, players would come to me and say, "Listen, don't stop talking to me now. I want you to keep talking to me." And I thought that was important. I did it both ways. It didn't make any difference. It just kept the game going. You didn't have to call a cheap foul, and if guys listened to you, they accepted it. And it was. And a funny thing was, a rookie would come in, and he had never experienced this, and he'd say, "Quit talking to me." That's fine. I didn't talk to him at all. So he put his arm out there and locked his elbow. Boop! There was a foul. And the offensive player turned around and said, "Should listen to him for crying out loud." It is a game of trying to keep the game going. You are a manager of the players and the coach, and you do the best you can.
You know, Terry, you bring up a really good point, and I'm glad that I'm on with you to have an opportunity to highlight the role that officials play, because there is a teaching component to it also. I remember my rookie year coming into the league and trying to figure out why I didn't get certain calls that veterans got. And the conventional wisdom was that I hadn't played the years. But the truth is, there was a lot about the game I didn't know. I didn't know going to the basket and getting bumped, that if I threw my hands up in a shooting motion and I didn't bounce it again, I could get to the line. And so I got banged, and I told the official I was in the act of shooting. He says, "If you don't get your hands above your shoulders, you ain't ever getting to the free throw line." And I really appreciated that, because it made sense to me, and I never forgot it.
Sure. You know, we go out there and try to do the best we can. We're going to make mistakes every game. It's just going to happen. And in the process, what you're trying to do is keep the game moving along. I mean, if it was funny, when certain owners came into the league, they wanted every touch and everything called. Well, it just slowed the game down to nothing, and it became a game of walking to the foul line. That's not what the people want to see. That's not what the players wanted. That's not what the officials wanted. And so, I always felt that when I refereed, I knew who the players had been around, but I didn't know if a player was a rookie or first or second year. It didn't make any difference to me. If he did something that had to have a foul, then that's what he got. You asked me a question, you got an answer. It never made any difference to me. And I think the majority of officials, it didn't really make any difference to. But I believe that, what you say, Michael, and that is, a rookie or a first-year guy, a second-year guy, he's got a learning experience. And it's going to take a while. It's no different than an official. He comes into that league, and it takes 4, 5, 6 years to understand the game to become a professional referee. It's not an easy thing.
Terry, we had a couple more questions for you. We had a break coming up. Can we hold you over and bring you back in a couple minutes?
Absolutely. Not a problem.
Okay. Retired NBA official, Terry Durham. We always enjoy visiting with him, and we'll take a short time out, come back with some other thoughts for Terry, and also we'll have our Horizon Air Trivia Contest coming up as well. It's Trailblazers Courtside. We're heading down the home stretch of our program on a Tuesday night, presented by Pacific Power. Simulcast on trailblazers.com, the Blazers Radio Network, and Comcast Sportsnet.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, is brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power's Blue Sky Renewable Energy. Lighten your footprint and enroll at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Somebody who's providing some great answers for us right now is retired NBA official Terry Durham, joining us here once again on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. It's Brian Wheeler, Michael Holton with you. And Terry, obviously the entire Tim Donaghy saga put a black eye on the league, and also cast a cloud over NBA officiating in general. We know that, I believe, it's the most difficult sport to officiate. But how much does it bother you, and probably on the heels of the Donaghy situation, a few more people come under this belief? It seems like, for whatever reason, the NBA is thought of by more casual sports fans as being a league that there is a favoritism toward big cities, favoritism toward big markets, favoritism toward the star players, whatever it might be, things that detract from the basic nature of calling a game as you see it. And I would imagine as somebody who put in the years that you did, that this must be a troublesome thing to have to continue to answer and continue to refute, and the Donaghy thing probably didn't help things in that respect.
No, it sure didn't, Brian. It infuriates me what he has done, what he's put a black eye on the league, what he has caused my profession of officiating to have this black eye. When you work so hard at something you absolutely love and give it, you work 11 months a year at it for 24 years and the work and the time you spent working up to that time to get into the league, and then some egomaniac starts gambling, it infuriates me. And you know something, it causes people to say, well, if that's going on, it's been going on along, and that's what it's, they're question my integrity and that and all the other officials, and that infuriates me more than anything, because the guys work, the people in this league work their rear ends off, and they try to do their job what it's supposed to be done and how it's supposed to be done, and they try to do the best of their ability. And we had an individual like this come in just because of the greed of him. It's brutal. I can honestly say that didn't care who was on the floor when I refereed. And I'm saying this for not only myself, but mostly all the officials. They didn't care who was on the foul floor. They called the game the way they shot it should have been called. They called the foul when they should have been called. And to handle the situations that arose. And to us have to put up with what he did, and now he writes a book, it's Judas Priest is absolutely brutal, for crying out loud.
You know, Terry, you said something before we went to break about keeping the game moving, and it was one of your objectives, you know, to keep the game moving. Well, due to some rule changes, now there's a lot more game interruption, particularly late in the game, to go to the monitor to review plays. And I wanted to get your opinion about increased game interruption, really as it relates to keeping the game moving, because they kind of pull the game in different directions.
You know, Michael, right now I'm working for the NCAA, and I've got six leagues in the West Coast that I go around and watch referees and write reports on them. And one of the biggest things is that I have noticed with the college game is the amount of time they spend at the TVs, the monitors, and you don't see it happen too often in the pros. It does happen now and then. And give you an example where a player shoots a three-point shot. Is he on the line or is he behind the line? And the official is in a stack. Instead of taking two steps one side or the other, they look and see if he's on the line or behind the line. They get lazy and they stand behind. Now they have to go to the TV and check it, the monitor. And that happens at times in the pros, but not often. It's much worse in the college. It's getting better. But we want to get the play correct. And if we have a doubt in our mind and we have an opportunity to go to the monitors, I think we should. But I think it's used in the college, in the pro game, as a last resort to get the play correct. You don't want a game to end on a play that guy had his toe on the line and you didn't think he was, and you give him a three-point shot and they win the game. You know, it's we are not good enough as officials to basically tell if a ball is out of a guy's hand before the horn goes off or not. It's a reaction. It happens so fast that sometimes you have to go to the monitor to see. But I think in the college, in the pro game, you see a little bit of it, but not as near as much as it could be, because the guys are so doggone good. If they get in the right position and they see what happens and they're able to make a judgment without having to go to the monitor to look at it.
Terry, we'll leave you with this. Yesterday was the anniversary of the day that Steve Javy tossed Mike Rice out of a game. And I know that you've always felt that Javy just beat you to it, that eventually you would have gotten around to it if he hadn't done it earlier.
Yeah, I was just about five seconds from dumping Tommy Heinsohn in the game, crying out loud. And a lot of people I know wish I would have, but I didn't. But I'm going to have to give Steve a call and let him know what everybody's thinking about him out here.
Absolutely. Terry, a great pleasure as always, and safe travels to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you get back to town.
Well, thank you, Brian and Michael. I appreciate your time and having me on.
Have a good evening.
Terry Durham, retired NBA official. He is one of the good ones, that's for sure. All right, as we head to break, it's time for our Horizon Air Trivia Contest. If you are the first caller to correctly answer the following question, you win a $25 gift certificate to Typhoon. All weekly winners will be entered into a drawing to win a trip for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air Wings of the Great Northwest. Now, tonight's trivia question. The Blazers were able to complete a four-game season series sweep of Minnesota on Saturday night, but way back when, they used to play teams a little bit more than four times in a season. We want you to name the only team that the Blazers went 6-0 against in two separate seasons. 6-0 against the same club, and the Blazers did it twice, the only time that has happened in team history. If you can name that particular NBA opponent, then you'll be the winner in tonight's Horizon Air Trivia Contest. 503-963-4595, 877-475-4595. The numbers to reach us when we come back. We'll have the winner and the answer in tonight's Horizon Air Trivia Contest. A couple of emails that I think we might try to get to as well. As we continue on, it is the home stretch of this edition of Trailblazers Courtside simulcast on Trailblazers.com, Comcast SportsNet, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we have a winner in our Horizon Air Trivia Contest, Steve Utz of Beaverton. He has a great Scrabble last name, Coach. O-U-Z-T-S. Utz, pronounced.
Utz.
You'd get a lot of extra points for some of those letters. Steve Utz of Beaverton knew that the Clippers were the team that the Blazers beat 6-0 in two separate seasons, and they just happened to be seasons when Michael Holton was a Trailblazer, 86-87 and 87-88. So you dominated those Clips.
Dominated those Clips, and some of those games were played in a sports arena in front of nobody.
Yes. I remember the good old L.A. Sports Arena growing up in Los Angeles. So Steve Utz of Beaverton, now will win a $25 gift certificate to Typhoon and entered into our drawing to win a trip for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air Wings of the Great Northwest. Listen again next week to Courtside for the Horizon Air Trivia Contest. Coach, I had an email I wanted to ask you about from Ben, who says, what do you think of all the negative talk about Nate from some fans and such? Despite the wins, injury, and all, some don't think he's the right fit and is offensively deficient. I'm not one of those that think that, but what are your thoughts?
Oh, it bothers me a lot when coaching gets criticized. Bothers me in particular when Nate McMillan gets criticized in the body of this season when he's played with a roster that has not been healthy, available, and has had to steer this team through a lot of adversity, the biggest reason being the injuries, and has done so in such a way that the team is in the playoff hunt and in a position to make what I think is going to be a push and a run in the last 19 games. But yet every time the team loses, you know, one of the first thing that comes out when I'm on the fifth quarter is the question of, is Nate the guy? And I just find that unbelievable, because when the Trailblazers win, you know, he's coach of the year. Mm-hmm. And so you just can't be that volatile. But as Jay Allen, our friend and fellow broadcaster, says, it's why they make bandwagons low to the ground so people can jump easily on and off.
Did Jay come up with that? That sounds like it's very clever. Very clever if he did. Another email coming in, courtside at trailblazers.com, from Mark, who says, if Prisbilla and Odin return for the start of next season, where does that leave Camby? Does he remain a Blazer and come off the bench as a backup to L.A., or do the Blazers look at moving him to another team? Where does Howard fall into all of this? What do you think will happen, and what would you like to see happen?
Well, I think it'll work itself out. I mean, Camby will be a free agent at the end of the year, so it's not going to be a thing where all of those people are healthy on the roster and competing. And the front office will make the right decisions and choices, but there's 19 games to be played, and they're an important 19 games in terms of making the playoffs, the playoff push, to help decide the answer to some of those questions.
And also, we should say that on our flagship station, Sports Radio 95.5 The Game, the Juwan Howard Show, which is a weekly part of Wheels at Work. Juwan today saying that he would love to come back and finish his career as a Trailblazer. In fact, he said, I wish I'd become a Blazer sooner than this in my career. And I think this is no surprise. We've seen a lot of guys that get the opportunity to come to Portland, see the great fan support, see the terrific Blazer community that surrounds them, especially if you're somebody like Marcus Camby, who thought he enjoyed life as a Clipper and then found out what it's like to actually have a full building every night, and people that meet you on the street and say nice things to you because they want you here and they appreciate you being here. People warm to the community that is the Trailblazers very quickly.
Hard not to. I mean, Portland is clean, green, and serene. I mean, it's a place that you want to be. I mean, crime's not a problem. Quality of life's not a problem. Standard of living, cost of living. I mean, there's just so many things in addition to being in the Trailblazer family. I mean, when you're in the Trailblazer family, it is so special. And that's why so many former players make their home here. It's why I decided to make my home here. And even when they booted me off the Bluff, I decided this was the place to be that I wanted to be. Portland is a beautiful place.
Well, that's because that wasn't the Blazer family. But the Blazer family, you've never been booted. In fact, you've been embraced even more since that point in time, and we're happy about that. All right, welcome back and put the finishing touches on this edition of Trailblazers Courtside. I talk about our next edition and the week ahead for the Blazers as we wrap things up. Simulcast here on Comcast Sportsnet, Trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Thanks to our outstanding Trailblazers Courtside crew tonight, our TV producer Adam Willis, director Phil Beard, video Greg St. Martin, graphics John McConnell, audio Corey Griffin. Cameras handled tonight by John Curry and Jason Van Zeppel. Our executive producers, Scott Zachary and Dave Kamens. Our engineers, Bruce Williams. And our radio producer, the captain, Rich Patterson. Week ahead for the Blazers. Tomorrow night, Indiana here at the Rose Garden. 7 o'clock start for that one. And then the Blazers are off until Sunday. Late night affair for national TV as they go to Denver for the first time to take on the Nuggets. It'll be a 7:30 start Pacific time. Both those games to be seen on Comcast Sportsnet and, of course, heard on the Trailblazers Radio Network. Our next edition of Trailblazers Courtside next Monday night, 6:05 until 8 o'clock over these same places that you enjoyed it tonight. Coach Holton, pleasure being with you.
Oh, Wills, this was a ball.
And tomorrow night, Blazers and the Pacers, and hopefully the Rose Garden will start becoming the dominant place for the Blazers that it was last season. After a great road trip, they certainly don't want to come home and stumble as they take on the Pacers, a team that will be in action tonight against the Lakers. So the Blazers catching them on the second night of a back-to-back. Hopefully that will spell good things for the Blazers tomorrow evening. 6:05 start on the radio side, 6:30. For those watching here on Comcast Sportsnet. For Michael Holton, I'm Brian Wheeler. Have a terrific rest of this Monday evening. So long, everyone.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, has been brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. This has been a Blazers Broadcasting Sports presentation.